Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'd like to talk about two things that I think will be interesting to watch this week and in the coming weeks and even months, perhaps more. One is the political shift that's happened in Ukraine this year and how it may affect the conflict with the Russia-backed separatists and forces in the east. And the other is the protests that are happening ahead of local and regional elections in Russia, particularly in Moscow. But there have been others as well. Ukraine. Yesterday was the parliamentary elections. A few months after Volodymyr Zelensky won big in the presidential election, and now he's won big again. His party, Servant of the People, looks on track to have a majority of the seats in parliament, which is unprecedented in Ukraine since independence in 1991, and clearly gives him a mandate to do what he wants, which he says is reform, fight corruption. And one of the things one of the main things that Ukrainians want, according to polls, is a resolution of the crisis or the conflict, rather, in the east and essentially an end to the war. Different people want, don't want that unconditionally, but that is a very wide desire on the part of Ukrainians to have an end to this more than 5-year-old war that's killed about 13,000 people in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. This majority that it looks like Zelensky's Servant of the People party will have in parliament, it sort of puts him on the spot in a way, I think, because, you promised to try to seek new ways and to be constructive about resolving the conflict. And now you have presumably the power, to do it, or at least to take action, aimed at doing it. Obviously, Russia is a huge factor, Russian inaction or actions can get in the way, certainly. There'll be pressure on Zelensky to do what he can to resolve the conflict. I think it's going to be, there's some details about it that I think will be interesting. I mean, on the one hand, given that it puts that pressure on him, but there will also be pressure, to resolve it, but not in certain ways. In other words, there will be pressure from nationalists and many people in Ukraine not to give in any significant way to Putin and Russia. The things that he has said and done and some of them, have been criticized by critics critics would see them as preparing to give in to Russia. So he has pressure from both sides, pressure to resolve the conflict, but also pressure to resolve it in a way that isn't seen to give in to Russia. That's obviously extremely difficult task, I think. And in a way, I think, it also puts pressure on Russia because you'll have perhaps redoubled calls in the West for an end to the conflict and saying, okay, look, Ukraine, assuming that Zelensky, takes action, there'll be calls in the West saying, Ukraine is doing its part now. Russia, you're revealing yourself again to be the in the way and sort of not constructive about ending it. So that'll put pressure on Russia, but it also the fact that Zelensky will be sort of under the gun, potentially gives Russia some kind of a platform to try to resolve it in a way that Moscow wants. So it will be certainly interesting to watch what happens there. And then another factor is the parties or party in in the Ukrainian parliament that's sort of Russia friendly, the opposition platform for life, which chairman is Viktor Medvedchuk, who's close to Putin, and you know, he's been behind some prisoner exchanges, and that's you know, that's something to watch as well, because you know, it'll be interesting to see how that party is used and what role it plays in the efforts to end the conflict or the opposite. It's and I think they are on track for about the second largest number of seats in parliament. I think they had about 12% or 11% of the votes in the party list voting. So that's also kind of a new factor. And you know, another thing, I think, I mean, it's specifically these kind of prisoner or captive exchanges that have been in the news recently in the past few weeks will be something to watch. You know, going forward, certainly the question of, you know, there were some expectations that the 24 Ukrainian seamen who were captured by the Russian Coast Guard / FSB in November would be freed and sent back to Ukraine. So far, that hasn't happened. Their custody in jail in Russia has been prolonged, and also one of the more prominent Russians held in Ukraine, Kirill Vyshinsky, a RIA journalist, Russian state news agency journalist who had Ukrainian citizenship but now has only Russian citizenship, apparently. He's still being held in Ukraine. He's a potential person for an exchange, but there's been no big development there yet. And of course, you know, another question, the 24, basically there's a question of who is seen as, you know, when Russia or Ukraine talk about all swapping all prisoners for all. You know, there are quite a few Ukrainians in Russia who you know are prisoned and seen as political prisoners by many, you know, from the 24 sailors to Oleg Sentsov, the director, who's I think serving a 20-year prison sentence. There are far fewer Russians who are sort of known who are in custody in Ukraine. When we talk about, and then there's actual kind of prisoners of war who were taken captive during the fighting and during the conflict in the east. There's definitely, in my mind at least, a question about what does each side mean when they say all for all. If Russia says that, do they mean Sentsov as well? Do they mean the 24 sailors, or just people taken captive in the conflict, which technically the incident near the Kerch Strait, was not. So that'll be an interesting kind of specific thing to watch in terms of what's going to happen with the war in eastern Ukraine after this political shift in Ukraine. Now, the other topic I wanted to talk about a little is the protests in Moscow. Now, there was mostly in Moscow. There have been others, but kind of big attention on the protests in Moscow. They've been held several times, and this weekend on Saturday there were apparently about 22,000. I think that's the figure from the organizers. 22,000 people protesting in Moscow. They're calling for opposition candidates and just independent candidates who are actually independent, not fake ones, to be allowed onto the ballots in the Moscow City Duma elections, which take place along with other regional and local elections in September. Many of them have been barred from the ballot or appear to be likely to be barred from the ballot over signature technicalities mostly, and they're saying that this is this is really, they're crying foul, saying these are just excuses and it's politically motivated efforts to keep them off the ballot. So, I mean, these are some of the, I'm not really sure about the numbers, but there's certainly some of the biggest opposition protests since 2011, 2012. I think the first big one in 2011 in December on Bolotnaya Площadь had The police said 25,000, and the protesters said 50,000. So that, you know, that's bigger than this one in Moscow apparently, but not hugely bigger. And you know, these are crowds that are significant. So it's people are saying, well, the authorities here, the Kremlin, didn't really need to let this happen. And they've kind of created a problem for themselves. So we'll see what happens with that and how they try to resolve it going forward. I mean, it's true that, you know, this one of the main kind of bases or grounds for protests across Russia have been local issues, you know, garbage dumps, the church in Yekaterinburg, things like that. In a way, this is similar. It's a local election in Moscow. And it's prompting local protests, but protests that, for various reasons, especially because Moscow is the capital and kind of the center of attention, you know, have become a national issue and have attracted a lot of attention. So apparently, I think Alexei Navalny is calling for another protest this coming weekend, and there's still about a month and a half, I guess, to go until the election themselves. So we'll see how that plays out. Well, okay, enough of my yakking, as they said in the movies back in, I think, 1984. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please have a look at my newsletter, The Week in Russia, which comes out on Fridays. Thanks for listening.